For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love and devotion to God's Word. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. This is God's word to us. He loves us. He loves you and me. And He wants us to know that underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. Delighted to have again today with me my friend, Arlita Winston. Arlita, you've been telling us some fascinating stories of your parents' experience as missionaries in Sumatra. Your mother had to learn some severe lessons of relinquishment when her sister died, and your mother was left with her sister's 4 children in addition to her own, and tried to do everything and thought she could fix everything, including her brother's broken heart over losing his wife. Your mother discovered that she couldn't do everything. It was a lesson, I'm sure, in death to her self-image, perhaps, her pride. And then you mentioned those 4 years when you were so far away from the Lord, and your mother came to your house and for 2 weeks washed and ironed and cooked and mopped floors and took care of your children and not once said a word of admonishment to you about what you ought to be doing until she was about to say goodbye. And what did she say?
She said, Arlita, without a true death, there can be no resurrection. And she knew I was dying inside, but I hadn't quite died. I was still holding on to a little bit. And with that, I gave in and relinquished everything to God and came back to Him totally. I wasn't able to talk to her about it just yet, but it was at that time when she said, Arlita, without a true death, there can be no resurrection.
And I know what kind of a resurrection there was in you because I've known you for all these years. And it's a transformed life. And through your life, Arlita, I know that God has produced fruit beyond anything that any of us could have imagined. Please carry on with your mother's missionary story.
Well, after Mother and Daddy left Sumatra, they had to flee through the jungles with all of us children, with just the clothes on our backs. The Japanese were very close behind us, just a few hours behind, and we caught the last ship going out of the harbor, and we went for 3 months dodging submarines on the high seas without any radio contact with America. They didn't know we were even alive. We dodged the submarines back and forth for those 3 months, and Mother had the 6 children to take care of all those times during the air raids. Well, they came back to America, but very shortly after that, they went to Shanghai, and there were new lessons for Mother to learn then. But it was here that I learned probably one of the most important lessons of my life. And the year was back in 1948. The newspapers were screaming that Shanghai would fall to the communists any day. And my sister Andrea and I were accustomed to walking past sandbags piled high on the sidewalks, hundreds of nationalist soldiers lining the streets between our school and our home. And this particular day, we passed them standing at attention. Their guns with their bayonets fastened to the ends were resting on their shoulders. And as we bounded through the front door, Mother met us with just shining eyes. I have a surprise for you, but you'll have to discover it yourself, she said. And we began looking all over the living room and the dining room for a clue, and at last we found it, tucked behind the folds of the draperies. It was a pair of tiny hand-crocheted booties. A baby! We both cried it at the same time, and Mother's face was just beaming with joy. Yes, she whispered, we're going to have a baby. Now, there were already 5 of us by now, and Shanghai was just about to fall to the communists. Bombs were falling everywhere. We found out years later that they had been so embarrassed when they discovered they were pregnant that they didn't let the families in America even know about the birth until after John Robert was born. They were afraid, I guess, that everybody would say, what, a baby in the middle of the war? Don't they have better sense than that? Well, Shanghai did fall to the communists, and so did the bombs. We had to vacate our home and move to another compound, and Mother kept mothering us. The week before her due date, she decided she didn't want to be caught in an air raid when she went into labor, and so she decided to just check into the hospital early. And meanwhile, Daddy had to be taken to the hospital with an acute attack of asthma, and two of my little brothers had to be hospitalized at the same time, and that left one little brother who was taken in by another missionary family, and Andrea and myself. We could stay at home with the cook. And I will never, ever forget the day everyone came home bringing baby John Robert. We raced home from school that afternoon, ran up the stairs two at a time, bursting into the bedroom. A sudden hush gripped me as I shut the door on all the turmoil outside. And I saw Mother holding our new baby, calm, content. Her face was just shining like the sun. I still remember the drapes were pulled to keep out the winter cold, and she was dressed in this beautiful satin robe with roses spilling all over it, some ladies in America had given her. And I can still remember the light on her dressing table spilling out all over. And then she handed baby John to me. I still feel the weight in my arms as I nestled him, and in that moment, right then and there was born in me probably one of the strongest desires I have ever had in my life, and that was the desire to be a mother. Not just any kind of mother, but a mother who, in the face of turmoil and war and devastation, could give birth and know for a certainty that it was a gift. It was a gift to celebrate. And she knew her Lord, and she could safely trust everything to him in the midst of a war. She could trust everything to him who had chosen her, and I wanted to be like her. I wanted to know her Lord that same way. I don't know that she knew she was discipling her children at that time. When we talk about discipling, she probably wouldn't have called it that. But what we children knew was that she and Daddy were plugged in to that vine that we were talking about in John 15. They were abiding in him so that his life was flowing in her, giving her that joy unspeakable in the midst of turmoil. And Mother and Daddy taught us how to live and how to die. They also taught us how to die hundreds of deaths while we were living, to submit to this pruning process of the Lord. And there were times when he cut deep and sure, and in those times we learned acceptance, knowing that fruit would be the result. I know that Mother often said that she felt like she was just of no use. Here they were in Shanghai as missionaries, and Daddy was in the hospital. Half her children were in the hospital. She was in the hospital giving birth. Whatever good were they to the missionary cause?
I'm so glad you told that part of the story, Arlita, because one of the things that distressed me most when I was a new missionary was the attrition rate. In other words, missionaries just leaving the field. I believe that 20 missionaries left the field in the first year that I was in Ecuador, which was a very small country. We didn't have thousands of missionaries. And since then, I've done a lot of thinking about a missionary's expectations. I often say to prospective missionaries, I can guarantee to you that the will of God is going to be different from what you thought. The will of God is going to be more difficult than what you thought. But I also want you to know, and I believe this with all my heart, that the will of God is always going to be more glorious than anything you ever thought. And surely the will of God was very different for your parents than they had imagined. I suppose they thought they were going to be in Sumatra all their lives. Then they were in China. And carry on with this lesson of relinquishment that you've talked about.
While Mother was in the hospital giving birth to John, one of my little brothers was staying with a missionary family, the Wilhelms, in the China Inland Mission. He was only 5 years old. And every single morning, this little five-year-old would waken the entire family at the crack of dawn with his little high-pitched voice singing, "Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true." No matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. Sing when the day is bright, sing in the darkest night, every day, all the way, let us sing, sing, sing. Now you have to understand, the bombs were falling. Most of the Westerners had fled. There were just a few of the families left, and this one family that had my little brother taking care of him, they were waiting to receive their visas so that they could get out. Every day he would go down to the consulate to see if he could get the visa for his 18-year-old son, and if it didn't come through, their son would not be able to come with them to evacuate, and the family would be separated. He would waken every morning and hear this little voice, "Trust in the Lord and don't despair." He would get dressed and quickly run down to the consulate to see if it had come through. And every day, that little message from heaven came to his heart until the very day when the visa did come through. Now, Mother didn't know about this, but she had been worried sick about the burden that she was on the missionary community. And it wasn't until we finally evacuated and we boarded the ship in the middle of the night and Mother ran into Mrs. Wilhelm and just hugged her and said, "We're on free soil! We're on free soil! We're free!" And then she heard Mrs. Wilhelm tell her of how that little song had carried them through some of the darkest days before the light shone.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.